Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And Sean, we have been crisscrossing paths and states and countries. Where are we now?
Well, you know, we are in the Pacific Northwest together, actually. Lakewood, Washington is where I am presiding for today's show. And of course, yourself, I believe, if I'm correct, down in Olympia, Washington.
That's right, at the Adam Johnson Studios, kind enough to let me in for tonight's On the Double show. So big thank you to Adam Johnson for letting me use the palatial studios in Olympia. And man, long, long day of flying yesterday from Australia all the way back to Seattle. But hey, we're back in Washington and trying to get back to normal.
Well, yeah, man, I wanted to say welcome back to the Pacific Northwest. And of course, you had mentioned, I believe, 21 hours of flying. Is that how long you were in the air?
Yeah, that's just about exactly the time I spent in the air from Perth, Australia to Melbourne, Melbourne to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Seattle, not counting lag time between flights or the drive from the airport to Olympia.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge amount of miles in anybody's book. And, you know, I know that you're glad to be here in the Pacific Northwest, of course. Beautiful, beautiful weather. I mean, couldn't draw this out any better. The weather's been like this for a couple of weeks, and it looks like it's going to be in the mid-80s for another week or two. I mean, if you ever wanted to visit the Pacific Northwest, now is the time. Just gorgeous, you know, the way the sun is glistening off of the lakes. And of course you have the majestic view of Mount Rainier and of course the Olympic Mountains as well. I mean, what a great time to be in the Pacific Northwest.
And the entire world just saw a lot of that beauty with the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay that you worked and I was able to watch a little bit of from New Zealand and Australia. So it was great to be able to see the Pacific Northwest from half a world away and shining brightly.
Yeah, this seems to be the epicenter of sports. And, of course, we'll get a chance to talk with one of our guests today and about, you know, a great, great event that happened this past weekend in Spokane, Washington. That, of course, is the Spokane Hoop Fest 2015. And, man, it didn't disappoint this year either.
That's right. Spokane Hoop Fest, the largest 3-on-3 tournament, not in the state, not only in the country, but in the world, Sean Boyd. Amazing to see how Spokane's been able to put that together and continue to grow it and grow it. We will have the executive director of Spokane Hoop Fest joining us, a name that sports fans, especially in the Pacific Northwest, might remember, Matt Santangelo, former Gonzaga Bulldog as well.
You know, Matt Santangelo is one of the premier guards to come out of Gonzaga, and that is along the likes of John Stockton and of course, Dan Dickow, to name a few of the point guards. And, of course, Matty Santangelo standing at 6'1 as a guard and did some great things. And, you know, now, as you were saying, the executive director of Hoop Fest, and I look forward to talking with him about this endeavor.
Temperatures in eastern Washington soaring above triple digits, so you know it was extremely hot out there for all the players and volunteers alike, but hopefully there weren't too many weather-related health issues and things went off without a hitch.
Yeah, you know, it's tough when you're one of the better teams that plays in a hoop fest or a hoop it up. But, you know, yours truly had a chance to play in a couple of those back in my day. And won a championship, by the way. And so it is tough over a 2-day period, 3-day period, depending on the tournament. when the temperatures get as high as they did in Spokane, which I believe there were murmurs of about 110 degrees, man, you have to drink a lot of water and make sure that you are hydrated and stretching appropriately, because it could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's definitely the number one worry, I would think, that a guy like a Matt Santangelo and everybody involved with HoopFest is trying to avoid, is keeping everybody hydrated and avoiding the injuries and the heat exhaustion and heat-related illnesses and issues.
Yeah, it's different. It's a lot different to play on the blacktop than it is in the gym or on the wood floors. And, you know, it's a different element, as we'd mentioned, with the weather. But as far as the strain that it puts on your knees and your joints and, you know, the physicalities that of outside as well, I think it's a tougher element outside than inside.
And this show, a big show regarding the Inland Northwest, Spokane to be exact. Guest number two tonight will be Darnay Tripp, the sports director at Creme 2 in Spokane, to go into a little bit more in about the Spokane Hoop Fest and his adventures, and also touch on the Spokane Shock of the Arena Football League and Darnay's journey in sports broadcasting that has brought him to Spokane.
Yeah, you know, Spokane seems to be one of those areas where a lot of people come out of, and you just don't know it. But Washington State University has a lot of journalists and sports broadcasters that have become successful. Of course, we're talking about Matt Santangelo doing some things as an executive director. So we're going to put Spokane and Eastern Washington on the map once again here on the Double. So it should be an exciting show.
I'm talking about the heat. I'm definitely not super excited to return home to the 509 in a few days, because that 105, 110 degree heat, I want no part of that.
Well, you know, you got to get used to it at some point. These are the summer months here. And of course, I'll be heading back down to Sacramento, California, Elk Grove, actually. And gosh, the past few days have been just that, about 107 yesterday, 106 today. These are the things that we look forward to in the summer. And so, you know, some call it beautiful weather. I call it extremely hot. But wherever you are during these times, make sure you find a watering hole, whether it is a restaurant, bar, tavern, sports bar, or a pool, local pool in your area. Make sure that you're finding one of those areas to keep cool.
Now, as we wait for Matt Santangelo to join us from Spokane, Sean Boyd, how can it be? LeBron James in the NBA Finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers returns home for a season, has now opted out of his contract, and is a free agent once again.
Well, you know, for all the pessimists out there who say, gosh, here we go again, and you know, LeBron's going to steal the show in the offseason with all of this talk of where is he going to play next. I believe that he is going to stay in Cleveland. This is just something that is a formality. He will get top dollar this time and possibly a long-term deal. Here's one of the things that LeBron is leveraging in this is, of course, Kevin Love is looking to possibly come back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but he is being suited by a couple other teams. The Los Angeles Lakers have been a team that has had talks of wanting to have Kevin Love come back home to Los Angeles. And of course the Orlando Magic have come into this arena as far as possibly getting Kevin Love. So what LeBron James is looking for is Dan Gilbert to open up his wallet and make sure that he solidifies, you know, a strong nucleus of players with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so once that happens, I believe you'll see LeBron James signing quickly and showing his gratitude back to the owner as far as what he's going to give back to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
We'll have more time to talk NBA later. Let's go on out to the Chandler Reach Winery Hotline and welcome in Matt Santangelo, the executive director of Spokane Hoop Fest. Matt, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem, Matt. And man, you've had a huge weekend, to say the least. This is your first year as the executive director of HoopFest. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. You're definitely feeling it today from all sides, from playing in the streets of Spokane to, you know, helping manage and make sure that we pulled the event off in a safe and successful way. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride and experience so far.
Now, what was your first call to order as the executive director of HoopFest, and how expedient were you in making sure that things were getting in order?
Well, I think with our particular event, because it's a great basketball showcase, it's a great showcase for the city of Spokane, but at the heart of it is it's a community event. I mean, without the support and energy and passion from the community, this thing doesn't take place. I mean, we really literally, you know, rely on about 3,000 volunteers throughout the year to pull this thing off. So the biggest thing for me coming into an event that was already the biggest, you know, in the world, the best in the world at what it is, you know, was to really make sure that I took care of those relationships with those volunteers and took care, you know, not to change too much, but just to be a good steward. A good steward of all the success that HoopFest had already created for itself, you know, like I said, with our volunteers, with our sponsors. So it was really just solidifying those relationships and letting everyone know that the HoopFest was going to happen no matter what, and be frank, just try not to mess it up too much.
Now, Matt, how easy was the transition between you and Rick Steltenpole? Am I pronouncing his name correct?
Yep, because you got it. Yep.
And so how easy was that transition for him to hand over the reins to you?
Well, interesting question, because, you know, Steltenpole, who is, you know, involved with HoopFest from, you know, really very close to the beginning, not right at the first, but very close to the beginning. He was the first executive director, and I think was the executive director of 21 of the 25 years that he was around. You know, so he actually started a company to build these types of events outside of Spokane. So it was kind of interesting, because, you know, he was, you know, looking towards his new adventure. He was looking towards his next opportunity. So, you know, the transition was fine, but there were so many moving parts of HoopFest because of how large it is, and so much tacit knowledge, because people have been doing it for so long. It's just, it's in their heads. There's no checklist. There's no, you know, it's not written down, do A, B, C, and D. So it was a little bit of a challenge for me to kind of really grasp how large it was and all the moving parts that exist. And frankly, it's going to take me a couple of years, because it is quite a production to pull it off.
Matt, how much have you learned being a part of HoopFest as the executive director for the first time?
Well, it just that. I mean, it's just all those moving parts. I mean, when you talk about, you know, a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, you don't necessarily think about the technology behind registration and bracketing. You know, you don't really think about the technology behind building a citywide, literal 42 city blocks, wireless sound system in order for us to pull off sound across our site. You don't really think about the connectivity, internet and data connectivity that's necessary to support 250,000 people over the weekend in downtown Spokane. So it's all of those things. It's managing those to make sure that those continue to progress and get better, more so than worrying about, you know, the 3-on-3 basketball. So I think for all those moving parts, because, you know, we have experts that are partnered with us that they spend a lifetime in these areas. Yet HoopFest, because it's so big and it's, you know, so large that it touches so many different areas, you know, that's a lot for a novice, you know, a new guy to kind of pick up on the fly. So my knowledge base, although not very vast, certainly I know what I don't know, and I don't know a lot. And I'm very cognizant of partnering with people that can give me the answers with in a lot of different areas to help HoopFest be successful.
Aside from your team and getting the logistics squared away, what are you most proud of from the weekend in the 2015 tournament?
Well, I think really the volunteers. I mean, this year we battled the heat. It was the hottest. I mean, we set a record on Saturday for the hottest day in the history of Spokane in June, and then we beat the record on Sunday. So we went back-to-back, triple-digit days, put a huge amount of pressure and stress on everyone involved, from players and fans, but in addition to volunteers. And so to really see, you know, the effort that our team, you know, in the office put together and those key volunteer areas put together so that we could try to be as proactive as we could in giving support to everyone that was downtown. I thought that was just incredible. And really, you know, yesterday afternoon, because we had, you know, we had ESPN Sports Center here. They broadcast Sports Center live from our site for the first time ever this year. We had a lot of different things going on during the week. And I know Sunday afternoon, after, you know, really a year-long preparation, but really intense 3 months, April, May, and June in Spokane for Hoopfester, who are pretty crazy. You know, I was sitting with my wife, and, like, it was just kind of, it was about 2:30 in the afternoon, and I finally just kind of a deep exhale, and I teared up, you know, because the weekend itself is so powerful. It takes so many people and so much effort to pull this thing off. And it's an emotional rise. I mean, it really is something that is really, you know, kind of magical. And I think, you know, the effort that you see from all these people who are volunteers, I mean, they don't have to show up. They're not collecting a paycheck. They're doing it because they want to. They're sacrificing their time and talent for this event. I mean, you can't help but get swept up in that and really have a, you know, quite a reaction, an emotional reaction to the effort everyone puts forth.
Matt Santangelo, kind enough to join us here on The Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, Matt, you'd mentioned the emotional ties put into all the effort and the support. And, of course, ESPN was there this past weekend. And how big of a joy was that to have Spokane on the map to where the whole world actually sees, you know, some of the great, you know, vineyards and, of course, Hoopfest?
Yeah, and it added so much excitement leading up. You know, we got the announcement probably 2 months ago, and so we really got a lot of great energy and interest in our event leading up to it. But to hear the feedback, you know, to start seeing your phone blow up on Sunday morning, literally all over the world. Oh my gosh, you're on SportsCenter. Oh my gosh, Spokane looks so great. Oh my gosh, you know, ESPN does such a great job of showing the city and the event. I mean, that stuff is priceless. You know, I think, you know, I don't really want to even speculate on the impact that has on our city and our event in the future, because I tell people, like, we just need to enjoy the ride. Like, it was really spectacular to have them involved. You know, to have, you know, ESPN drive off after their show is done and receive emails from the producer saying, oh my gosh, the event that you guys put on is remarkable. Thank you so much for your hospitality. We're so impressed by your event, your organization, your coordination, and your city. I mean, to get an endorsement from outside of the community like that when they're only here for a short time, but it's so apparent and so easily recognizable, the effort that goes into this thing, that it's just, it makes you feel good. I mean, there's no real other way to say it. I mean, you feel very proud to be a part of it and for the role, you know, the role that I play in trying to make it all happen.
Now, Matt, did ESPN contact you, or did you guys contact ESPN? I know that Jamie Sire, being a Montana native but a Wazoo grad, that helped out, of course. But how did that come about? Because Hoopfest has been going on for about 26 years, and, you know, why now?
Well, I wish I had a great story. I wish I could say, well, hey, I called so-and-so, and I just get it done. No, that didn't happen. We had a contact in the Seattle office for ESPN that our office had made contact with, saying, hey, you know, you should think about coming to Hoopfest, and this is what it is. At the same time, internally at Hoopfest, they were launching this program, SportsCenter on the Road. So they have selected 5 events that they're going to broadcast SportsCenter from, similar to what they did for us. And I'm not sure, honestly, like I said, I wish I had some great story to tell, but I'm not sure how the dots got connected internally at ESPN, but they actually launched that program, this Sports Center on the Road, here in Spokane at Hoopfest. So they're actually going to travel now, you know, for the next 5 weeks and meet these other events. I mean, I honestly got to say, like, I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into, because no matter how you describe, I mean, whatever words I could articulate on your show tonight and say, like, what Hoopfest is, until you see it, it's really, really hard to kind of comprehend what exactly is going on, how big it is, and all that effort that goes into it. So, like I said, to have ESPN come in and see it with their own eyes and drive away on the bus going, oh, my gosh, what they do in Spokane is spectacular, is, like I said, a great source of pride and a great compliment to everyone that's involved.
Matt, what is tougher, organizing and having this weekend of Hoop Fest 2015 go off without a hitch, or playing NCAA basketball for Gonzaga?
Oh, without a doubt, Hoop Fest. Without a doubt, because when you're, you know, you're at Gonzaga, you're a in theory, you're a high level athlete. Everyone caters to you, you know, NCAA tournament and all the media coverage, and it's all excitement. And, you know, for us, we were a pretty hungry bunch of guys that enjoy playing the game. I mean, you're pretty narrowly focused, right? You just got to take care of your body and take care of your teammates. And that's pretty much at the end. You got to pay attention to the scouting report and listen to your coach. At Hoop Fest, that's not even a millifraction of all the things you have to deal with, manage, and be aware of. And care for. So both are equally powerful, and both are equally emotional. But this Hoop Fest thing is big, man, and you know, it's great in our area. Obviously the tie to Gonzaga is the easiest for me. The tie to the game of basketball is probably the more relevant one. But for us, it's basketball without borders. I mean, we take them all here at Hoop Fest. So you couldn't get to 7,000 teams, 28,000 players without accepting all levels for, with a passion for the game of basketball.
So as the executive director, did you ever think of yourself as almost a Mark Few type, the coach, the leader of Hoop Fest, and maybe learning from what Coach Few was able to teach you at Gonzaga?
Oh, without a doubt. I think there's a lot of parallels. I think that's a great point. There's a lot of parallels between Gonzaga's success and Hoop Fest's success. And really, again, it goes to the broader point of what the community of Spokane believes in and what they support. But, you take from all those mentors in my life, all those coaching, father figures, those coaches, those mentors throughout, because this is a leadership role. We do multiple things throughout the year. It's not just Hoop Fest weekend. It's all basketball related. But there, we're involved very much, 365 days a year. And I think that, when you have examples like a Coach Few and the success they've done, really the humble success and how Coach Few represents himself, not to mention, a lot of people in the athletic administration at Gonzaga and in the broader business world and mentors in my life. I mean, you pull from all those resources. But to have, the national brand that Gonzaga has become over the past, 16 years since our group was there, to now be involved with Hoop Fest, that is literally the largest and best in the world at what it does, and now to have even a greater national spotlight, none of that's bad, right? I mean, it's all a really good thing, and I certainly pull from experiences at GU and experiences throughout my life to, again, try to be a really, really good steward and leader the Hoop Fest organization stands for.
Matt Santangelo joining us here on The Double. And Matt, this is a question that I want to know. Of course, you are basically Superman for this past week and putting this on, but there's murmurs that you actually played this past weekend, and I want to know how well you guys did and who was on your team, and did you wind up bringing the crown home?
So we played. This was my very first Hoop Fest ever playing. So when we were looking at registration, and we do a little bit of extra work for our elite teams, and I was looking at registration, and historically we've had some very powerful and dominant at times local Spokane players that have really had great success at Hoop Fest. David Pendergraft, former Gonzaga player, Josh Heitfeld, former Gonzaga player, Eric Benzel, Ferris High School and Denver University, stand out. Guys like this have kind of dominated Hoop Fest. Well, this particular year, we didn't have any local teams. I'm saying, what? Sports Center's coming, and we don't have a local, representative team for Hoop Fest. So I said, oh, gosh, we better play. Because my intention was never to play at Hoop Fest because, for me, it's more about getting out and make sure the event's going to manage the weekend versus, oh, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Sponsor, I got to make my game. I got the game here in front of me. I can't talk to you about, whatever's going on this weekend because I my game's more important. I never wanted it to be like that. And so when I looked at the schedule, I was like, we got to have some local representation. So I went to my board of directors. We're a nonprofit, so I answer to a board of directors. I go to the key people that are involved, and I say, what do you think? Should I play? Do you think I can manage it all? And all of them, play. You got to play. You got to play. You got to play. So then I start getting on the phone and find Step. He gets absolute all-American money. We find Casey Calvary, the beast inside. So my teammate, he was a year younger than me at GU, the guy that tipped in the ball against Florida to send us to the Elite Eight in 1999, the guy who broke the backboard in the Spokane Arena, just a great friend and a previous great teammate. And then we find a guy named Robert Lippman, who's a local player, grew up here in Spokane and played college ball, then played in Australia. So we had good, you know, we had guards, we had decent size, and so we said, let's try it. So we play in the open division. So the open division is, there's four brackets, so there's 64 teams in the open division. Then, you know, so once you get through your bracket, you go semifinals and then the championship. It is a long weekend for just playing. It is a super, super long weekend if you're playing and trying to be present in the event and trying to make sure that you're, you know, seeing those sponsors and seeing those vendors and seeing those volunteers. It's a extraordinarily long when you add 110-degree weather. So by Sunday afternoon, now all those sound like excuses, but my point in all that is saying that I bit off more than I could chew without a doubt. So we won our bracket championship. So I do have one champ. My first Hoop Fest, I do have a championship under my belt. But we lost in the semifinals of the bracket playoffs. And we lost 20-19. We're up 19-18. Kelly Golub of Northern Arizona, leading scorer in Northern Arizona's history, returning champions for Hoop Fest, knocked down a big two to beat us to 2019, and our weekend is over. So we had it was really a blast. It's a rough the Hoop Fest game, especially the open division. I learned really quickly I'm too small at 6'1", you know, 180 pounds, doesn't do real well unless I can get out in the open court with some space at Hoop Fest, which you can't do. So I got beasted a lot by some 6'4", 6'5 guys. But, you know, like in true Gonzaga fashion, we gave it all we could give all weekend long, even in the heat and all the adversity. And we really had a blast. It was really a fun weekend to be a part of.
Matt, what's the farthest away you're aware of that a team traveled to play at Hoop Fest?
So we had 41 states represented in this year's registration. We were at 6,600 teams. We had five countries represented. So Australia, I believe, geographically was the furthest a team came from. But we had people, I mean, we literally had people come back, you know, change trips from, you know, school programs that had them in New Zealand, you know, made sure they got home a day early so they could be at Hoop Fest. And these are stories that we get every year. You know, I was involved last year for the 25th anniversary is when I came in as executive director. So this is actually my first full year, my second event, but my first full year of planning. And we draw from all over the world. It really is it's a big, huge reunion weekend, you know, for this area. People circle the calendar for Hoop Fest and make it a great, tremendous effort to get back every year.
Now, if somebody hasn't experienced Hoop Fest, thinking about playing, maybe thinking about volunteering, what can they expect and why should they come out?
Well, I mean, for us, it all starts, you know, as far as what to do, all that information is available on our website. It's SpokaneHoopFest.net. Think of it, you know, nothing but net. And, you know, if you're coming out to play, like I mentioned earlier, it's really, really hard to describe, you know, exactly what 7,000 teams look like, you know, what set of 462 courts look like. It is a festival, you know, and it's a community event. And we have all levels. It doesn't matter if you've never played basketball before or if you are, you know, an elite professional athlete. We have levels, so many different diverse teams that you're going to be able to find a similar, you know, grouping of teams that's going to, you know, make you feel comfortable and allow you to enjoy the weekend. If you're looking to volunteer, there's a lot of different ways to get involved. I mean, we have a number of key volunteers, 25 of them, that are kind of our department heads that, you know, are essentially year-round. I mean, they're planning year-round. And then we have, you know, we really blow up to those big numbers, those 3,000, thousands of volunteers for the weekend of the event to help us pull it off. And all that information is right there on the website. And I think it's important to know is, you know, we are a nonprofit. You know, our primary beneficiary is Special Olympics. We are a community, you know, organization. We build a number of community courts throughout our region. In parks and in partnership with Parks and Recreation, we build Hoop Fest courts in parks and maintain them. And I say that because, you know, I'm not getting rich off this. You know, people aren't getting rich off this. We have about studies have shown about a $45 million economic impact to the city of Spokane because of all the spending that goes on with all these people in town. So those volunteers are really making an impact. And so there's a lot of different ways to get involved and kind of experience and enjoy Hoop Fest.
I know the 2015 tournament just ended yesterday. Do you have dates yet for 2016?
Yeah, we are always the last full weekend in June. So okay. For 2016, that's June 25th and 26th, and you can mark it on the calendar years out. And interesting enough, 26 years ago when the founders sat down to figure out what they were going to do with Hoop Fest, they looked at just the Farmer's Almanac, and the last weekend in June was historically the driest and most, best weather, most mild weather, even though this year wasn't certainly that. But they circled that one, and that was it. So that's, we're always the last full weekend in June, and we have been for 26 years, and we don't foresee that changing at all in the future.
Matt Santangelo, former great at Gonzaga, and now the executive director of Spokane Hoop Fest. Thank you so much for your time and joining us here on short notice. Appreciate all your insight. And if there's anything Sean Boyd and I can do to help get the word out about Spokane Hoop Fest 2016, definitely let us know. It'd be great to have you back on the show in the future.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Matt.
There goes Matt Santangelo, a great in the Spokane area, Gonzaga basketball great, and now running the Spokane Hoop Fest, so many teams, so many players, so many just spectators, not to mention the 3,000-plus volunteers.
Yeah, this thing has been going strong successfully for 26 years, and, of course, Matt taking it over. And, the world's largest three-on-three tournament, the basketball tournament. I mean, what can you say about that? And of course, as Matt was mentioning, he was the one that was, actually playing as well. And so I can't begin to tell you all the effort and energy that he's put into it and actually taking the time out to play. That is extremely, extremely super for Matt Santangelo.
Yeah. And we've had, former guests of the show played in the tournament. I know for a fact that Chris Egan was over there sweating all weekend and playing in a tournament and having a team. And I believe he had one of his sons playing as well. So yeah, it's great for all ages, all abilities. And just as Matt said, a great boon to the Spokane economy. You think of all the hotels, the restaurants, everybody that has to get there from outside of the Spokane area, and just amazing to see it all happen.
I'd mentioned that I played in, some 3-on-3s, and, Hoop Fest is one that I haven't. Sean, who knows, man, maybe next year we can get a team together and head over to Spokane and play in the 2016 Hoop Fest. What do you say?
Hey, let's do it. We'll have Team DSX.
That would be awesome, man. I'm trying to figure out already what type of team we can put together. There would have to be a lot of, Ben Gay or Heat and Ice and, a bunch of rap and everything, but I think I could pull a couple of games out.
Sean, I could potentially get trainer Rob Ortiz to join us and be our physio for the weekend, and who knows, maybe a special player to be our third as well.
Yeah, just make sure that we have our medical cards in hand before we play. Oh, man. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we return, guest number two is on the way. And that is none other than Darnay. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours.
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Let's go back out to the Chandler Reach Winery Hotline and welcome in big time guest number two. One more time from Spokane, Washington, Creme 2 Sports Director Darnay Tripp. Darnay, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, Darnay, so how big of an event was this for you to actually get a chance to call? And I know that, you know, Hoop Fest is something that you've probably called for quite some time, but how big was this one this year?
It's huge every year. I mean, at that scope, it really doesn't change year to year. I mean, it's just enormous. And it's something that we put a lot of time and energy into, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I mention it every year. Like, I'm a basketball junkie. That was always my game growing up. That was always my favorite sport. The only thing I ever really played on a regular basis. And so when you're surrounded by the game you love for 2 days straight, it's really tough to beat that, just at the different levels. And you get to watch guys like Matt Santangelo, the former Zags, and guys just with college experience that maybe you weren't familiar with that are really, really impressive. It's just a blast. And to be able to work it and take in some of those games, talk to the players, you know, current Zags, former Zags, slam dunk contest. I mean, every year it's a blast. It's a busy couple of days, but you really can't beat it.
Now, this one was a little bit different, of course, and the reason why you had the big world power ESPN coming in, and I know that there was probably a little bit more of a frenzy this year than years past.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to rub shoulders with those folks too much, but I know it's something people were really, really excited about and, you know, see on social media, pictures and all that, and then for them to do a three-hour show in Spokane is obviously enormous. And that was announced, if memory serves, after, you know, a lot of the registration and that sort of thing. And so I'll be really interested to see what impact that has next year on people that aren't from the area or maybe aren't from the region, weren't familiar with it, to then see Hoop Fest on the worldwide leader for 3 hours. You know, and all the lead up and all the stories. I'm really anxious to see how that impacts the event going forward, just with the amount of teams that they bring in and how far out people come from around the country. I think there was over teams from over 40 states or something along those lines. I mean, it's already huge as it is. And to have that kind of exposure, it's only going to get bigger.
Darnay Tripp joining us, the sports director at Crème 2 in Spokane. And speaking of HoopFest, you add 250,000 people coming to Spokane for the event. How does that work logistically with traffic? Are there enough hotels? Is it too crazy? Do you have to leave 2 hours early to drive three blocks to get down to the courts and cover this event?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to live in a neighborhood that is just west of downtown. So it's maybe not even a 10-minute walk from downtown. And so what I usually do is I take my gear home and just walk because I know I'm not going to be able to park any closer than where I live. It's crazy, and I've tried. And, it can be confusing navigating the streets. I like to tell people who are, maybe in their first year working the event, it's always good to kind of get a chance to walk around before things really get started, maybe on Friday, because the lay of the land just looks so different when there's basketball courts everywhere you look, and then there's the awesome center court in the middle of the park there. It's just, it's really a sight to behold to see an entire downtown area covered by basketball courts, and it is jam-packed. Walking through the sidewalks, walking through the park and that sort of thing. There's vendors. I mean, it's really, really great. And so that's what makes it such a cool event. I grew up in a big city. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I like the crowds. I know some people aren't like too big a fan of the crowded streets, but for me, it's so much fun on a couple of days like that just to have a city packed. And so that's part of the fun of it. Now logistically, yeah, it can be tricky, and I would certainly recommend people that are making the trip that don't have friends out there to book hotels well in advance. I actually played in it a couple times when I was working in Kalispell, Montana, and we were always able to stay with friends, so I never really experienced kind of the jam of trying to find a hotel room. So that's the best way to do it if you know somebody in the area, even if it's like within a half hour or so. That's probably your best bet. Because with that many people, rooms are going to go fast. So it's a different weekend, man. It's unlike anything that you normally experience, but it's just such a cool thing for Spokane to host every year. And it's really amazing how it has grown through the decades.
With over 7,000 teams, I know you were able to talk to only a few handful of teams and players. What are some of your favorite stories you've been able to learn and relay on the air at Crème 2?
Well, our focus, for the sports department is on the elite divisions, and that's the best of best. Women's elite, there's two different men's elite categories. And so that's been our focus since I've been around. You always see teams with cool costumes and that sort of thing. I mean, there were guys dressed as Darth Vader. There were guys dressed as, there's a team with like a lion, an elephant, a skunk. I mean, it's crazy stuff. And it's over 100 degrees and they're playing basketball in these animal costumes. Like, it's crazy stuff like that. There's always people dressed as superheroes. It's really a wild scene. And that's, when you have different divisions with people that maybe don't take the wins and losses quite so seriously, that's part of the entertainment value of the event as well. But it's cool for me to get a chance, I've been in Spokane since 2012, a chance to get to know some of the former Zags like Matt Santangelo and Casey Calvary, Blake Stepp, David Pendergraft, and Josh Heitfeld in previous years. It's cool watching them play and seeing kind of their competitive juices get going a little bit, because you think these guys have played at such a high level professionally, NCAA tournaments, how serious are they going to get about HoopFest? Casey Calvary dove for a loose ball, and hit the ground the other day. Like, they get after it once the ball is up. And so that's really fun for me to get a chance to interact with those guys and see them play and see a bunch of guys with college experience play.
Darnay Tripp joining us here on the Double. And Darnay, you're mentioning being from the East Coast in Philadelphia. Now, is there anything similar to what goes on at HoopFest as far as 3-on-3s and and the competitive nature that Hoop Fest brings?
You know, I remember hearing about a Hoop It Up 3-on-3, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Hoop It Up is kind of like a traveling thing. I don't know if it's NBA cities or what, but I remember it being down by where the Sixers played. I never played in it, but it's amazing out in this region. There seems to just be like a 3-on-3 culture. When I worked in Montana, there were 3-on-3 tournaments in various small towns during the summer. There's 3-on-3. I know Eastern Washington has a 3-on-3 tournament. Coeur d'Alene, I believe, is a 3-on-3 tournament. And, of course, Hoop Fest. So it's kind of a unique thing. And I know teams definitely use those other 3-on-3 tournaments as kind of like a practice, a tune-up for Hoop Fest. So I've never experienced anything like it before I first played in Hoop Fest. And I get the draw. I mean, if I weren't working in it, I would play it every single year. There's no question about it. It's just a blast. So as much of a basketball town as Philly is, there was nothing like Spokane Hoop Fest.
Now, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the blacktop, the 3-on-3 atmosphere, or more of the indoor hardwood surface?
All right. So I'm not going to tell you my like exact weight, but like I'm 6'3 and not enough. Okay. Like nobody's ever accused me of spending too much time in the weight room. So 3-on-3 is a different game. And I know Matt kind of touched on that. Like he felt like he was too small. Like Matt, like, I don't know if you've seen a picture, like Matt Santangelo is in good shape. You know what I mean? Like that guy takes care of himself. I'm not really built for Hoop Fest. It always takes me like a game to get adjusted. I'm not like a banger, grind it out type of player. You know what I mean? I'm pretty easy to push around. So the more open floor, the better. It is tight in these Hoop Fest games. I mean, there's not a lot of room. When they're jamming as many courts into a downtown area, it makes for a physical type of game. And you see some burly dudes out there. And that's just not me. I mean, I like to float around the perimeter and shoot some three-pointers, or I guess in this case, two-pointers. So if you're new to Hoop Fest and planning on going, just know, like, you know, elbows might need to be sharp. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to work on boxing out, getting rebounds, getting dirty. It is not a finesse game by any stretch of the imagination. So get some big dudes. If you know a goon that isn't afraid to mix it up, it's always good to have those guys in your team. Because it really is a unique brand of basketball. So put me indoors, 5-on-5, 4-on-4, plenty of room. That's where I'm at home.
Darnay, you have worked all over the country in sports broadcasting. You mentioned Kalispell. You spent time in Macon, Georgia, and since 2012 in Spokane. What have you learned along the way that you might lend to a high school or college student that wants to get in the business?
Oh, man. I mean, it's really been a blast. Yeah, I never really left the East Coast growing up. I went to school at Towson in Baltimore, so that's 2 hours from home. Other than a couple vacations, you know, my entire life was in the Northeast. And so thinking about going to Kalispell was pretty daunting. But I've loved the experience every step of the way. You get to meet so many awesome people and see amazing parts of the country that you never expected to see before. I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to go outside of your comfort zone, expand your horizons a little bit, and just work your tail off. You know, be a little bit stubborn about what you want to do and your goals. But once you get the opportunity, leave the ego at the door and just work your butt off. And try and perfect your craft and have a good attitude. It's not always going to be easy, especially at smaller stations. You're going to be asked to do a lot, but I learned so much during that time in my career. And with hard work and a good attitude, doors open. It's pretty amazing. And so that's probably the best thing I can say. Try and learn from the people around you. That's another thing. I mean, I probably wasn't as well prepared as I should have been for my first job. So you just learn from the people around you that know the business, that know what they're doing. And if you just continue to do that, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Darnay Tripp, sports director at Crem 2 in Spokane, Washington. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Follow him on Twitter at Darnay Tripp with two P's, T-R-I-P-P. Thank you so much for your time on short notice. And hey, next time you see morning weather girl Katie Bohr, thank her. Give her a high five and a hug for us for getting you on the show.
We'll do. Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Also, Darnay, please say hello to Jane McCarthy, former Clover Park High School grad, such as myself. Please tell her that Sean Boyd said hello.
Hey, if you guys have any messages to deliver, just let me know. I'll pass them along for you. Just keep them coming. If I know anybody in the Tri-Cities, I'll let you know.
There you go.
Sounds great. Darnay Tripp, our personal messenger at Crem. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch next time we're up in Spokane, buddy.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Take care, Darnay.
Darnay Tripp doing good things at Crem 2 in Spokane. Traveled the country working in the sports broadcasting world, and now just had a great time covering Hoop Fest 2015.
Man, what the heck just happened, man? We awesome interview with Darnay, and then at the end, we're sending him messages. What is our problem, Sean Wally?
Well, apparently, Sean, we know. Apparently, we know too many people because, you know, Katie Bohr was a guest player for the Washington Generals in Spokane at the Spokane Arena. She works at Crem 2 as the morning weather girl, weather anchor, I should say, and got me in touch with Darnay to be on the show tonight. And, you know, Jane McCarthy from school. So we're just too connected is what it boils down to.
It has to be that, man. And so it's always good to be connected, I guess.
Hey, one of the best games ever, Connect Four. So absolutely, stay connected. And hey, what do people always say? It's always about networking. So apparently we're doing an all right job.
Well, it's been an awesome show. I mean, we've had Darnay Tripp on, and, you know, he flexed his prowess with, you know, as a sports director for Crem 2. And, you know, he talked as a player, you know, being a part of the Hoop Fest for at least a couple of years while he was in Kalispell, Montana, and of course being from the East Coast as well, so he's got a little true grit to him, and, you know, sharing what this weekend was all about as far as Hoop Fest. And of course Matt Santangelo, one of the Gonzaga greats, and now the executive director for Hoop Fest. And, you know, one of the things that Darnay was talking about as far as there's a difference between Hoop It Up and Hoop Fest, and I'm glad that Darnay mentioned that, Sean. Because Hoop It Up is one of those 3-on-3 tournaments that they're pretty much everywhere. Wherever there's an NBA city, there's a Hoop It Up. And those are competitive. But when you talk about Hoop Fest, you know, what Darnay was explaining is exactly right. These, you know, a lot of these teams use Hoop It Up as a tune-up to play at Hoop Fest. And that says a lot about how big Hoop Fest is.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's the world's largest and that ESPN decided it was worth spending 3 days in Spokane for it. So just a great spectacle for the city and for everyone to see on TV, let alone, you know, be there in person.
You know, it's funny, you know, listening to Darnay and you know, kind of giving an idea on what it would be like to form a team. And he's exactly right. You know, he's talking about, you know, having a goon. You got to have that one guy that's just willing to go in there and throw his body around no matter what. Maybe a little bit more heavy set than the rest of the players that are out there. You have to have that sharpshooter. You also have to have that person that can slash to the basket. And you also have to have that all-around player because, you know, you have to have a, you know, maybe a couple of alternates, but that guy that can play with his back to the basket, he can also face and shoot and do all those things. And if you can have those types of players on your team, you can do very well. The teams that don't do well are the ones that have, you know, all of everything, you know, or not all of everything, but some of the same. You know, they have three or four great shooters and they don't have a slasher or whatever it is. So make sure that if you're putting together a team, make sure that you put together a team that has all those different types of players, you know, the big goon, the shooter, the slasher, you know, the all around player, and you'll do pretty good.
Well, Sean, who would have thought we'd spend nearly the entire hour talking Spokane Hoop Fest and putting Spokane on the map once again. ESPN, of course, did it great this weekend. We can't do it on the level that they can, but hey, we will definitely do our part and share what Spokane has to offer. And, you know, this weekend was also a spectacular weekend for you and yours as your son Daniel got married on Saturday.
What a fun weekend I had. And, you know, as you know, for anybody who has a child, and especially if it's your oldest, you know, you just want nothing but the best for all of your kids. But the your first child that gets married, that is just so tremendous. And, you know, I was overwhelmed at watching my son because I still see this little, you know, my son, you know, as I raised him and, you know, doing all those things, you know, to help him grow. And then all of a sudden, just like that, they're adults and, you know, life starts for them. And, you know, I had a fun, fantastic weekend. We brought the house down all the way to the wee hours of the morning. And, you know, here I am with kind of a raspy voice, which I already do have that raspy voice, but I'm trying to get that back. I'm speechless. I am. I'm speechless at how excited that I am for my son, Daniel, and his beautiful, beautiful bride, Hannah, my daughter-in-law. I'm so happy to have her in the family and have the extended family of her side as well. And I just wish them continued blessings and a wonderful, wonderful marriage throughout life.
I know it was a very special moment for you and your entire family, and glad you could be a part of it. And sorry I missed you by a few hours and couldn't make it, but, you know, such is life.
Yeah, you're too busy jet setting, coming from globetrotting. And, you know, of course, so what's next for you here? I think the trip was cut a little bit short, but gives you a little time to hang out around the area. But what's next for you?
Well, with the Globetrotter Tour ending a couple weeks early, you know, when one door closes, they say another one opens. And that is what is happening is now I have availability to make it back to Las Vegas for the Global Basketball Summer League that I worked last July. And a few of our former big-time guests will be there and buddies and friends of the show. Cottrell Macklin returning to Las Vegas, so he and I will be working closely together, reporting and calling games during the tournament, which is the 6th through the 12th in Las Vegas. So it'll be great to catch up with those guys and get back to work and hit the grindstone and hopefully put out some good video.
Man, Vegas, global basketball. Man, can I go? Can I go? Can I get down there to Vegas?
Man, you know, hitchhike, start pedaling the bike over up on 80. Do whatever you have to do to get there, because the Double S Express definitely need to get back on the mic at a court near you in Las Vegas.
Now, wouldn't that be cool, you know, for you and I broadcasting a couple of the games, doing what got us started way back in the Tacoma Thunder days, and then doing the show from Vegas as well? Man, I think we're onto something here.
That's right. You know, July 6th will be the first opportunity for our show out of Las Vegas, and then the following, the 13th. So got a couple options there if you want to join me and have the show have both hosts from Las Vegas. And then, yeah, we've got reporting opportunities. We've got interviewing opportunities. We've got play-by-play and analyst opportunities, you know, you know, the director of NBA officiating will be there again, George Tolliver, that we had on the show. So we'll get to speak to him again and maybe interview him one more time. And a lot of the coaches for the summer league teams that we've had on the show, Ricky Cleveland George, Lewis Lofton, the director of global basketball, Daryl Reshaw. So be great to rub elbows with them again and for you to meet them all for the first time, if you can make it happen.
Yeah, so you know, I'm gonna have to get to Vegas and make this happen, so that yeah, again, we can meet some of our past guests and, you know, continue to build on our resume, as they say, and especially as Darnay was mentioning, you know, just staying and keeping your nose to the grindstone and staying consistent. And so, You know, who knows, all our listeners out there, that we might be doing a show from Vegas together. Yes, indeed.
Well, we know for sure that 50% of DSX will be. So the only question is whether or not that will be the other 50% creating the Double S Express live from Las Vegas. So that will be in the next 2 weeks, a possibility of shows from Las Vegas and good things happening in the basketball world as the Global Basketball Summer League is there leading up to the NBA Summer League as well.
Well, only time will tell, and then our listeners will know next week if we're going to be doing that from Las Vegas. So Sean Wally, give us a recap on our show today, man. It was an awesome one.
A pleasure having Matt Santangelo, the executive director of Spokane Hoop Fest, on the show. And of course, former Gonzaga Bulldog basketball player, doing great things in the city where he went to college and staying in the Inland Northwest. Crem 2 sports director Darnay Tripp, bringing more insight on Hoop Fest and his travels in the broadcasting world.
So that was awesome, man. The awesome two guests. And goodness, we're going to be letting you know who our guests will be next week. And of course, we always have big time guests here on the Double with the Double S Express. And as we like to say here, you're not in the game until you take a shot. And when you take a shot, we hope it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally in Olympia, for Sean Boyd in Lakewood, Don Newsom, the engineer in Paradise, California. We hope that you guys are staying cool and beating the heat. This has been on the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door.